Okay, this message, I almost feel like I need to apologize. I mean, when I look at the spiritual stature and maturity of the people in front of me, I almost have to apologize that this message is so simple. I almost think we ought to just go home. It's too simple for people like this. That doesn't have the depth that you warrant as a believer, with the stature and the maturity that you have of decades of serving and giving and sharing the gospel, I would bring such a simple message before you. What am I thinking, actually, as a pastor, to bring this elementary teaching before you this morning, for fear that I might even insult you? It's that simple. But there is this other thing to consider. It actually may be just in some way, shape, or form, for those of us that are here today and listening, it may be something we need. As simple as it is, it may be something for us to be reminded of, or more so than we forgot it, maybe we need to practice this a little bit more. So if I offend you in any way by not bringing you something from the depths of the foyer of heaven, forgive me. But if I share with you something that is so simple, so yet I would even say profound, that it reorients and recalibrates you where you are in your walk right now, then maybe I've done my job. All right. Apology accepted, I hope. I don't know what kind of week or weekend you had. I know that mine was terrible. It was heavy. It was dark. There was a heavy heaviness. It was nasty. Now, I know people go through these in life, and being a pastor, I often know and go through some of those things with you. Well, this time it happened to be me. When I sent the title of this sermon to our ministry team and media team a while back, I had no idea that the sermon was actually going to be for me. I had no idea that the title is Overcoming Heavy Heaviness. I wish I had changed it, done something else. Maybe my weekend would have been a lot better than it was. But it was horrible. Distinctly memorable, but wanting to forget it as soon as possible. But nonetheless, perhaps the Lord was preparing me. Proverbs 12 and 25, the words of Solomon, Book of Wisdom. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh him stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. I like using the King James every now and again because it makes me seem more intelligent. I don't know. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. All right, let's break it down. Heaviness. This word heaviness is really wretched. It means dread. Okay? Dread. Drudgery. Of course, weightiness. And its best friend is anxiety. Throw in some fear, some emotional despair, spiritual weightiness, and I would use two other words, grossness and dumbfoundedness. Every now and again, you run into something you didn't anticipate that came out of nowhere. There was some sort of oppressive assault against you or someone that you know or someone that you care about, and you're sort of so unexpectedly not looking for it, that you're kind of dumbfounded by it. You're just kind of immobilized. You just kind of sit there, and you're trying to, wow, I can't even believe I'm seeing this. Where did this come from? Where did this rise up from? How did this slither into my life abruptly to be dealt with? And it leaves you sort of like dumbfounded, sort of paralyzed, like, I don't really know how to deal with this. It's not something I deal with all the time. But nonetheless, it was wretched. And because it was wretched, there's going to be some payback. And that payback's going to happen right now in this message. Heaviness comes our way. And that heaviness comes into the heart of a man. It seeks to get into the heart of the man. It seeks not only to be on the heart of the man, it seeks to invade the heart of a man or woman. It seeks to get in there and cause that heart to stoop. That heart, the inner part of you, where it really matters. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If this heaviness can get into the heart of a man or a woman, if it can slither its way into the oracles or the chambers of a one spiritual heart, then what comes out of the mouth will be out of the abundance of that heart, and it will be heavy too. You will be a conduit of heaviness. You will be a complainer. You will be a whiner. You will be a blamer. You will be a person who uses divisiveness. If any kind of heaviness, you got people in your life that are going through heavy things. If that heaviness can make its way not on your heart, but in your heart, then out of your mouth will come some things that normally wouldn't come out. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, says Jesus. The goal of oppressive heaviness is to get into one's heart by way of the mind. The mind first, usually, but the heart. When that heaviness, Solomon says, gets into the heart of the man, it makes him to stoop, makes the heart to stoop. I haven't heard that word in so long. My grandparents had a front porch with three steps, concrete, after World War II, and they called that the stoop. One time my dad fell on the stoop and hurt himself, and he sued his father so that the insurance company would pay. But they had to paint the stoop so nobody would slip on it. I haven't heard that word since I was a boy, but I get it. Right now, a heaviness that comes upon a man who seeks to get into his heart would cause his heart to stoop, to cower down over, to slink down, to spiritually discern a heaviness that causes one discouragement. Not courage, but discouragement. I don't know if you've encountered this kind of oppressiveness before. I have. I know what it feels like. I know what it's like. I don't like it, but nonetheless, there it is. That kind of heaviness. Some of us, the people in this congregation, are going through some of this. Some of you are going through this right now. Cancer treatments, financial issues, relational issues. You know who you are. I know who you are. We both know who you are. It's a reality. Heavy, heavy, heavy. To stoop. When a heart gets bombarded by heaviness, a heart will eventually pay homage to something. Remember when we went through the Gateway course together, those of you who listen. A lie repeated often enough takes on an element of veracity. A lie repeated over and over and over becomes somewhat credible if we're not careful. So we have this pay homage to, the heart gets depressed, sinks down, it's immobilized, it sort of becomes like hopeless. And then what heaviness came your way becomes a fixation. I would say that there's a heaviness on our land right now. I would say there's a heaviness on our land. Those of you who have been around a while, you know this. You know when there's a heaviness on the land and when there's not, right? Those of you who went through the Depression, you know when there's a heaviness. And then those of you who went through the Depression, you also know that everyone was poor, so nobody knew the difference, but it was a heaviness. Yeah, there's a bit of a heaviness on the land right now, seeking to get past the mind of the nation into the heart of the nation, where that heart will then stoop and pay homage to and fixate upon that heaviness. Why? Because to fixate on a heaviness means to not fixate on Christ. If we're not alert, if we're not aware, if we're not spiritually sensitive, if we don't pause to think on such things, then we become steadfastly dumbfounded. It's like spiritually saying things like, duh, duh. Like I'm just like, I don't even know, I can't get my bearings where I am. I can't even get my bearings where the Lord is, where what the world is doing. Well, that's the beginning of it. To stoop before a situation and a condition with this glazed look of astonishment. Haven't you looked at your TV lately with this, oh my gosh, am I watching this? Glazed look of astonishment. Well, the repetitiveness of seeing those images and fixating upon them will eventually cause you to sort of stoop and go, be overwhelmed by it. The same thing can happen with an illness. If you've been sick or in the bed or dying, or I've called you when you're sick, or we've prayed together when you're sick, I've probably said this verse, Isaiah 26:3. He whose mind is steadfast on the Lord will have perfect peace. What happens when we get sick? We get tired, we get vulnerable, our minds shut down, our hearts are heavy because we're starting to realize I'm weak, I'm nauseous, I'm gross, I'm tested, I'm vulnerable. Your body's sick, and one third of you is sick. Your body, your spirit, and your heart. And it's like one third of you is pulling the other two thirds down. And spiritually, you don't feel strong. You feel like you're stooping before an illness. He whose mind is steadfast upon the Lord will have perfect peace, not mediocre peace, not a portion of peace, not a sliver of peace, not a fleeting peace, a perfect peace. So this fixation, yeah, there's a heaviness on the land that's causing us to fixate and even sometimes obsess on certain issues. And then this immersion and redundancy and this bombardment over months, it's a paying homage to the goings on in the world, to strife, to division. And it's gross. Fact number one, there is heaviness in and upon the land. Fact number two, heaviness is dealt with in varying ways. People react differently to heaviness. A teenager might react differently than a senior. A married couple in a family might act totally different than another family. A husband and wife might react totally different to heaviness. We have different ways of coping and dealing with things because we have different experiences, different teaching, different personalities, different perspectives. But we all deal with it in certain ways. People, secular and sacred alike, deal with heaviness in different ways. We respond to heaviness in varying ways. Some defend. Some offend. Some burn with frustration, and other people burn buildings. It's crazy, the spectrum of how people will actually react to heaviness, oppressiveness. Some internalize, and they cower down, and they shut down, and they pull over themselves like a warm blanket in the dead of winter and just kind of hide and peek out of the covers every now and again to see if it's gone. Others of us externalize our heaviness and our dealing with heaviness. And we explain it away, or we fault those who we think started it, or we blame. There's all different ways of doing it, but we're all trying to figure it out. Some politicize, others hypothesize, some intellectualize, some compartmentalize, some melodramatize, some depersonalize, some demoralize, some are hyperpolarized, secularized, capitalized, scandalized. And the list goes on. And because we have different ways of dealing with heaviness, it tends to be a point of tension. We think the same thing, we believe the same thing, but we go about it a different way. If we fixate on it long enough, we end up amortizing for months frustration and grossness and heaviness. If we stoop and fixate it upon it enough, the challenge, we realize that we've lost sight of a, quote, good word. Heaviness is the heart of a man, in the heart of a man maketh him stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. What's a good word for you and you dealing with the state of affairs in the world today and in your own personal life? What's a good word for the nation? In a posture of heaviness. What's a good word that would create gladness? I'm all for it. I want to hear that good word. What is that good word? I like the word but. My favorite subject in school was butology. I loved it. It wasn't offered in the school, but I was the professor of butology. Tell me anything, and I'd say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. I got a different answer. but a good word, a rich word. This is what it means in the Greek, in the Hebrew, a rich word, a pleasant word, a right word, a pure word. Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and God's direction, is giving us a way out of heaviness. And it's a good word, a pure word, a rich word, a righteous word. And it yields gladness. It yields a gladness that in Hebrew means a rejoicing and celebration. Wow, that's attractive to me right now. Rejoicing and celebration, eliciting liberality and light and lightness. So you have dark and heaviness, and this word, this one word, will elicit not darkness or heaviness, but light and lightness, lightheartedness. It doesn't mean the situation is going to change. It doesn't mean the source of the heaviness has gone away. It doesn't mean it's eradicated or eliminated. It means it still could be there, but this word, so right, so timely, so pure, so simple, so applied to our heart, will give us a feeling of lightness and lightheartedness, regardless of the outer circumstances. Immediately, you can learn this one word, and this one word can turn you from living from the outside in to the inside out, where you become now the master of your own heart, and it's not susceptible to the PSI of the culture and the heaviness that the culture, the darkness, the prince of darkness actually wants to place upon our heart. What is this word? Is it is it many words, like a sentence? Is it a paragraph? Is it a good speech? Is it a sermon? Is it a prophetic word? I would say probably, yeah, all of those things could work. But I think it's even simpler than that. I think it's much simpler than that. I don't think he meant to say that it's a word, like, I'm going to give you a word this morning, a word from the Lord, which takes me 35 minutes to give you. I don't think he was talking about that. I just think he's talking about a word. What could this be? Well, I have singular words for you. I'll give them to you. You pick the one you want. Oh, by the way, they're all the same. And they're all equally powerful. They're all equally potent. They're all equally effective. But they're not all, for whatever reason, the heaviness of the world has somehow, I think, kept people from fixating on this word. It has deterred the Church of Jesus Christ on some level, and I understand why. We are now bombarded with a heaviness that we didn't expect. We don't have a lot of practice dealing with, and it's a lot of a misunderstanding, a lot of information, over-information, a lot of lack of information, a lot of ignorance. Put it all together, and we go, what in the world is going on? Throw into that two or three other angles and perspectives on sister and brother issues to heaviness, and we've got ourselves a real situation. I feel like a shepherd with a staff walking around in one of those toga-looking things, and I can see. All right, these people over here, they're starting to get way out there. What are they doing out there? Come on back. These people over here are going a different direction for a different reason. Hey, come on back. What are you doing? And as a shepherd, I'm saying to you, is it possible that right now in this last 6 months even, we've been bombarded by so many heavy, weighty things, so many divisive issues, and we're talking about them, we're reasoning them out, we're internalizing, we're externalizing, we're pontificating upon these things, that there is a word that maybe just somehow has been marginalized, not totally ignored, just marginalized a little bit. All right, here's the word. I'm glad you're sitting down. The word is Jesus. You don't like that one? Here's one. Christ. Lord. Master. Potentate. King, Savior, Way, Messiah, Truth, Life, Judge, Mediator, Rock, Life, Liberator, Jireh, Sidkenu, Shalom, Makadesh. One word is all it takes to make the heart glad. One word is all it takes to exterminate and lift off the heaviness. There's a stooping going on to the power of culture, to the power of the world. There's a subtlety that people aren't seeing, that there's an obsession and a fixation on things at the cost for some, not all, for some, at the cost of stooping, paying homage to Jesus Christ. We're slowly, if someone didn't say something, we're slowly inching over toward, I'm going to trust in horses, I'm going to trust in chariots. And over here is the name of the Lord our God. Got people getting freaked out that Jesus came off the throne, is playing golf somewhere, 6 feet away from everyone else in his force. He's not, he's on the throne. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing could snatch us from his hand. Jesus, remember him? Jesus. He's not on the news. No one's talking about him. It's getting a little heavy. And someone needed to say something. Thought I would. Why does it get heavy? Well, there are a few reasons. An absence of casting. When we get in a momentum of taking in all this crap, that's a Greek word, actually. Okay, I'll be more spiritual. Excrement. We'll go with the Apostle Paul then. When we get so bombarded with this, we don't cast our cares on the Lord, that he would sustain us and never let the righteous fall. There's an absence of casting. There's netting. There's like got our net out. We're getting all this bad news, but we're not casting our cares on him. Eventually, this will make you sick. There's a lack of, sometimes, not always, there's a lack of living a quiet and peaceful life and minding your own business. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Thessalonians 4. I'll give you a break today. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to know the cause of every problem that we have. You don't have to research it and theorize and tell the whole world why we are where we are. God actually knows that. And as soon as someone figures out why we are where we are, there's five people who have figured out why we are where we are, and every one of them opposes one another. And now, you know where we are? We're in a new place. We're arguing over where we are and how we got here. What difference does it make? Remember this guy, Jesus. Go back to him. Having to know too much and figure everything out creates too much heaviness. It's above my pay grade, maybe not yours. I don't have to know everything. I'd like to know what's going on, but I don't have to know everything. The one thing I need to know, and I need to know well, is Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. That verse in Philippians 3:10 does not say, I want to know everything that's going on in the world so that when I know what I know what I know, I can know Christ and then I can understand suffering. No, you just need to know Christ and the power of the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. We are going to suffer, saints. I was thinking about something the other day, which is unusual. I'll get to that in a minute. If left unchecked, you know, we all like sheep go astray, each to our own way. Right? Time when we're fixating upon problems is not our friend. Sometimes we're fixated more on statistics. Numbers of people dying. Are they really dying? Is it that many dying? Have we really tested that amount of people? Numbers, death, sickness, hospital rooms, numbers, got it. I got it. Okay, I got it. I'm not saying I'm for or against. But someone has to say, hey, have we forgotten that the people that are dying, whether from a virus or not, some of them are going to hell? Has anyone forgot about that? Are we just counting? People are perishing for eternity. And if we can fixate on the fact that they're perishing or not perishing and argue over that, then we do nothing about the eternal aspect of it. What makes then at that point, what makes us different than anybody else? But a good word maketh it glad. I got jerked through a knothole this weekend. And I'm a fairly large guy. And it was a fairly small knothole. And the only thing I could say is Jesus. Lord, Master, Potentate, King, Savior, Way. That's the only thing. I didn't need an explanation. I didn't need to pontificate upon the source of the problem. I didn't need to react. I just needed to be still and know that He is God, and I'm not. There was such comfort just in a word that, you know what? As I began to be stupefied and stoop before this situation and sort of be like paralyzed by it and try to figure out what the world is this nonsense. As I was paying homage to its power over me to sit there and go, I didn't see this coming, I realized I needed this other word to make my heart glad. It's Jesus. I'm sorry, it's just a simple message. So simple we can miss it. Christ is preparing for Himself a bride. This is what I was thinking about. I read ahead. I don't know if that's allowed or not. I went to Revelation. I'm going to tell you how the movie ends. If you came in the middle of the movie, I'm sorry. It's just the way it ends. Just before the ending is good, but just before the ending, there is cataclysmic, intense, horrific, tumultuous heaviness, death, despair, destruction, calamity. There is off the charts, cataclysmic, apocalyptic nightmares going on. There's death in the streets, which we're used to. There's burning in the streets. We get that. But there's portions of the globe that are in despair. Oh, we get that too. But there's more, and it's more, and it's more intense. And I feel like we as a church, the bigger church, have been through a dress rehearsal. The first practice of the season. How have we done? This is a day on the beach compared to the book of Revelation. How have we done? You know the answer to that. We got to get better at dealing with heaviness. Heaviness in the heart of the man maketh it stoop. I end with this. 1 Corinthians 1:20 to 31. Where is the wise? Who is wise? Last time I checked, and I checked recently, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1 and 7. The world has its source of wisdom, but the buck doesn't stop with that wisdom. I don't adopt everything I hear in the world as wisdom, though it's said and postured as such. Wisdom comes out of reverence and awe of God, number one. So consider your source. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Who is thinking for you? Are you thinking only for yourself, or do we have the mind of Christ? Those are three different things. Who's informing you? Where is the disputer of this age? He's causing disputes. That's where he is. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Sometimes I wonder if we have paid homage to the wisdom of this world that we have sort of like looked at it and said, okay, you've told me what to think, you told me what to feel, you told me what to buy into. It works both ways. I'm going to buy into the wisdom of the world. Yet the world does not reverence Christ, so I don't know why that's wisdom to us. Careful, be sensitive, wisdom of God, then through the world, through wisdom, did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The Jews wanted a sign, the Greeks wanted wisdom. And this is why I stand here today with one word for you. We preach Christ crucified. Boom, there it is. We preach Christ crucified. Don't allow anything to pull you away from the intensity of paying homage to and stooping before the Lord, not the problems, not the challenges. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't walk in denial. But nothing, nothing is more important than Christ. Sometimes I think we can get ourselves wrapped up in good things and righteous causes and nobility, or what we perceive to be. And it seems like a replacement for Christ, but it's not. He goes on to say this. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom for God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Let's grab our elements. Go to the Lord's table. Nothing seems to go wrong there. Everything is good at this table. It's a good meal. It's a hiding place. To be hidden in Christ. It's been on my mind today. I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. That's really good news for those of you who aren't that good looking. Think about it. I'm going to read it to you again. Those of you who look in the mirror and you go, oh my gosh. Of course, that's not me. I'm thinking there's sure someone. Some of you should be saying that as well. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of sorrows and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Listen to this. Think of heaviness. He was crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. The body of Christ was crushed. That's heavy. It's weighty. How so? I don't know. You carry your sin sometimes on your shoulders and your heart. How heavy is it? I'll multiply that times 8 billion. Not just physical weightiness, emotional weightiness. Ugliness, remorse, condemnation, guilt, suffering, pain. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's the thing about this meal. What we have in our hand happened to him that it wouldn't happen to us. He was crushed that our yoke would be easy and our burden light. Again, a word that can make you glad. Jesus, Christ, Messiah, Lord, Master, King, Potentate. What you're about to put in your mouth is the body of Christ, and it was crushed on your behalf that you might enjoy the light and the lightheartedness of following him, partake of the body of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to be frustrated, and it's one thing to be afraid, and one thing to be angry, and it's one thing to carry righteous indignation, but it's another to carry a cross. You carried a cross that we wouldn't have to carry these things with us. I don't know what you're carrying today, but he would like it. He was forsaken by the Father as your sin and mine came upon him and became one with him. The holiness of the Father couldn't dare look at it. Christ called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so that we would never be. And nothing could keep us from the love of Christ for the blood of the Lamb. This is the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Lord, in a time, in a season when everything wants our eyes and everything seems to have our ears as a means to get into our heart, would you give us eyes to see and ears to perceive what your Spirit is saying to us, not the wisdom of the world? And would you, Lord, write your word on the tablet of our heart that we might not sin against you? And would you help us, though pulled and pushed and prodded in various directions, would you help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith? So simple. I left the heaviness in my heart at that table this morning. I trust others have as well. Because we have shifted our emphasis to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has all knowledge, all supremacy, all authority, all lordship. And he's the King of every king and the Lord of every Lord. And every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We just choose to do so now, Lord. We acknowledge your lordship and thank you for it. Inasmuch as you were crushed, and you have taken on the weight of sin, would you be so kind to remind us this week that your yoke is easy and the burden is light for us? And for this, we say thank you. We love you and we worship you and we pay homage to you today. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And everyone said, amen.